Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
I'm on a football clock. My entire week now revolves around the NFL schedule. We are so thrilled with the response we've had from you since we kicked off football. The excitement, the electricity, the interaction. It's all different. It's amped up. Dun, 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 dun. Bring it on.
Tell you all the story about the joke around the thief in the night.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Well, not quite yet, but we're getting close, and I'm feeling it. I'm feeling the football fever on what is now a Friday morning. In exactly 4 weeks from right now, I will start this final hour of the show talking about opening night in the NFL. And I dare say none of you who are listening to me right now will have gone to sleep before the end of Ravens and Chiefs. But just in case you went to bed right away, just in case you missed maybe the last couple minutes, or just in case you didn't have the post-game show and the analysis that you're looking for, or okay, if you fell asleep at halftime, I know some of you need your beauty sleep. Whatever the case is, in exactly 4 weeks, on Friday morning, September 6th, we will be talking about the first game of the NFL season, the first game of hundreds that will kick off the NFL 2024 campaign. Hood, hood. Oh, I can't wait. Now, if you're worried about the new kickoff rules, the new kickoff formations, we're going to see a lot of that this weekend, preseason weekend number one. Coming up, we'll have a chance to replay part of my conversation with an NFL insider who was at Giants and Lions. And the first thing I asked him was about the impact of the new kickoff formation. So we'll bring that back just a little bit to whet your appetite. We do cover more than just that. Giants, Lions, a little bit of Jets, and then the Super Bowl champions. Because I feel like these conversations that we have about the upcoming NFL season, they must end with questions or comments about the Chiefs. Because right now, that's the big goal for everyone. How do you dethrone the Chiefs? Who or what are the biggest threats to the Chiefs in 2024? That's not the question for tonight, though. That was my question for our guest. And you'll hear again part of that coming up. The rest you can get on podcast. And that is available every weekday morning. If you don't know where to find it, you can check out either our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, or I do routinely share the link on Twix as well, at A-Law Radio. But right now, what we're asking is kind of a fun exercise that I like to do every August. I haven't actually done, I'll do a video at some point to share my answers to this question, but roughly half the playoff field turns over every year. We know this. It's an established pattern. Who are the top candidates to make the postseason after missing out in 2023? Now, just judging by some of the new teams you're putting in, process of elimination, some of you are even sending me your division leaders and your wild card teams. I don't necessarily need that, but by the process of elimination, I can see not as many of you are high on the Dolphins, which is interesting. A lot of you high on the Jets. Injecting Aaron Rodgers back into the equation. But do they have the leadership? I know they were missing their quarterback last year. They have a lot of great talent on paper. Can they come together? What about the Lions? How do they make a step forward? And considering the rest of the NFC North, will they get a major push this year? I could go on and on. I could do an hour of just questions about the NFL season. It was, I won't call it fun. I'll say it was mildly interesting to see four teams on the field last night. I was mostly paying attention to Olympics, but I did check out the games. And actually, right now, NFL Network is replaying. I tell you, replaying. They're 5 seconds into the Giants and Giants and Lions, and there's already been a holding call. Uh-huh. It's terrific. We get so excited, so jazzed up, and then after you watch it for a couple of minutes, oh, no, it's fake football. There was more of Tommy DeVito, though, the cult hero for the Giants, going into year number two. Because Drew Locke got knocked out relatively early with a hip injury, apparently the Giants say he's going to be fine, not serious, but he wasn't unable to continue. Tommy DeVito, second-year guy out of New Jersey, such a great story, right? And Eric Gray, second-year running back, who is a candidate to step into that void left by Saquon Barkley. Those two guys were on the field together and actually a couple of touchdown drives.
Two guys that do the right thing on and off the field, where Tommy came from, you know, rookie camp to where he was playing last year, to understanding a lot of the nuances of our offense. I think he's made strides. And Gray's, I thought Gray's kind of got stronger as camp went on. So made a couple nice plays tonight.
All right. We don't put too much stock. Don't take, well, take everything with a grain of salt. Don't take it for gospel. But still, had to feel cool for Eric Gray, who, yes, is a candidate to step into that void post-Saquon. Now, if Tommy DeVito is starting for the Giants, there's a major problem. I'm not saying that he doesn't bring a lot of energy, and of course he's going to get better. I'm glad for him that he's still on the roster. But yes, if he's starting, that's an issue for the Giants. Their strength is likely to be their defense.
Just the overall standard of which they played with, you know, stopping them down there in the red zone a few times, the level of energy that they had, tackling. You know, we had that pick, unfortunately. They got it back from us. It would be a good learning experience. I thought we played physical. You know, and that's something that, you know, we want to try to be as a physical football team.
One of the rites of passage for the NFL, well, for me, watching the NFL, is that first moment when Brian Daboll threatens to spontaneously combust on the field. He's stripped down. He's looking svelte. Svelte. Such a good word. SV. How many words in the English language start with SV? Svelte. Smorgasbord is a good one. It starts with an SM. There's more SMs. There's not as many SVs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So the Giants, they've got a pass rush. Again, you'll hear more about it coming up with Ryan Dunleavy of the New York Post. But what about the offense? Did not see Malik Nabers on Thursday evening. At some point, looking forward to that. Now, for the Lions, well, I don't give preseason football scores. It's kind of against my religion. It's ridiculous, too. They're preseason football scores. But in the rain, you wouldn't say there was a whole lot to get excited about for the Detroit Lions and their offense. Even watered down and vanilla. So what do you take away, Dan Campbell?
You gather a lot of information in these preseason games, you know, and this was the first one. There was a lot of guys that, most of them, all of them, you know, you're wanting to see how they respond to a game like this. And so I would say we learned a lot on some guys, you know, and I just told them that this is where you, as long as you want it and you're willing to work, you don't go in the tank for mistakes, you improve. Listen to the coaching and work at it, and you grow. So, you know, never certainly wasn't our best performance, but man, there were some guys that showed up, and it's going to be great tape for us to evaluate.
When I hear Dan Campbell and what he just spewed there, I feel like it's him attempting to follow the old rule of if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. I know it's preseason. The scores don't matter. The effort does. The organization, the communication, just feeling like you've got some kind of forward progress. Well, when the best you can say is, all right, we've got plenty to evaluate. We've got plenty to look at. That means it's back to the drawing board. No. There's plenty to like about the Detroit Lions. And, of course, they're not going out there with their starters or feeling like, they, especially in the rain, they want to get anyone injured, don't want to put anyone at risk. So it's watered down, pun intended. It's vanilla. But at the same time, there wasn't a whole lot of positive to take away from the offense. Now, the other game that was taking place to start off this week one of the preseason, the New England Patriots and the Carolina Panthers. And these two teams are projects. They could very well surprise a lot of people this season. Think about the Houston Texans last year. And I'm not saying that they're in the same space or they're as good, just kind of throwing it out there. A team that really surprised people last year. A rookie head coach, though D'Amico Ryan's highly thought of in the NFL and would have gotten a head coaching job anywhere else probably or many other places if he didn't go to Houston. But takes over a project. They draft C.J. Stroud. Not even number one, mind you. They draft C.J. Stroud. They have a bunch of young guys. A lot of turnover for that team. How many, four different coaches in the span of 4 years? But the leadership, the drive, of course, getting everybody on the same page, putting a foundation down, and catching the Jaguars falling off a cliff. It was the perfect storm, but how many people were really surprised by what happened with the Texans last year? So could there be a potential surprise brewing with either the Patriots or the Panthers? The Patriots are a class organization. Gerard Mayo came up in that. He coached under Bill Belichick, though he is his own guy. And similar to the Panthers. Well, actually, I take that back. Not similar to the Panthers in that they have a quarterback that they're going to start with. Who knows if that is actually the answer. Jury's still out with Bryce Young, though Dave Canales seems to be a guy that can get more out of him, get the best out of him. But for Gerard Mayo, he's starting fresh. They have a veteran guy that he's familiar with, but the idea is to get Drake May ready. Saw limited action, more about it. Joe Milton was a guy that got the majority of the playing time. Bailey Zappi was out there as well. So, yeah. Quarterback room, Gerard. He gets to keep answering questions about his quarterbacks.
Joe went out there. We know he has a big arm. He has the athleticism. He's getting better with his reads every single day. He has natural leadership ability. But once again, it's not just about one game. It's about the full body of work. So you can come out here and play well, but you also have to do it on a day-to-day basis in practice. And you got to gain the confidence of not only the coaches, but also your teammates. And this was a step forward for him.
And so Joe Milton and Bailey Zappi together log in most of the time. Saw Drake May throw a couple of passes, so he was out there a bit. Jacoby Brissett, not so much. But if he's going to be your de facto starter, he's a veteran guy, obviously, in a different situation now, but being careful still. So we saw all four of them, and the one that he felt like stood up and really exceeded expectations.
I don't think we've ever seen a quarterback here run around as much as he did and still was able to get the ball down the field. He's one of those guys, so it was Joe.
It was Joe. Yeah, lots of scrambling, a couple of first downs, including one in which you see flashes of a guy who could really make life difficult for defenses. But is that what the Patriots want? Well, Drake May was their high draft pick, number 3 overall. How quickly can they get him ready? How quickly are they confident enough in him that he can protect himself and they're okay throwing him out there on the field? But yeah, limited sample size. And there's been a mixed reaction from training camp about Drake May and where he is in his progress. But honestly, the entire franchise is, I don't want to say starting from scratch because that's not fair. They do have some quality players that are left over from last season and from the Bill Belichick era, if you will. It's just so odd to think about someone other than Bill. But you look at their roster and it's a lot of new faces. It's a lot of new people. And certainly the leadership at the top, at the front, is new again. So I guess you could say taking that winning foundation, starting there, but new way of doing things, new sheriff in town. For the Carolina Panthers, new is pretty much the story every single season for quite a while now, going back to Ron Rivera. I think off the top of my head, was it been five coaches since Ron Rivera? Maybe six? I'll have to go back and count just so I've got an accurate number. But for them, change has become the constant. And I say this a lot about teams that are constantly spinning their wheels and churning. Constant change equals constant losing in sports. That is a problem, and the Carolina Panthers have been stuck in that cycle. So maybe it's Dave Canales that is able to break that cycle. It was his first opportunity of head coach for a live game.
It was just a great opportunity to be able to talk to the coaches, talk to the officials, kind of have those conversations. You know, we had a chance to replay one, which George Lee upstairs helping me with that was great. And it was just great reps for me to just get the flow of how the communication happens and being able to work all through that.
They obviously don't have a very long history, and so there aren't as many coaches as you would think preceding Dave Canales. Dom Capers, if you would ask me who the first head coach of the Carolina Panthers was, I don't know that I could have come up with Dom Capers. That's a name I haven't heard of in a long time. Okay, so Dom Capers, 95 to 98. Then George Seifert, I do remember him. Short tenure, but he was there. John Fox is the one that I think kind of put them on the map a little more. Let's see. Ron Rivera was after John Fox. And then since him, all right, so Ron Rivera gets fired. Perry Fuel finishes that season. So if we're counting interims, Perry Fuel. Then remember, Matt Rhule was brought in from college. And he was kind of the brainchild of the new owner. Then Steve Wilks. Then Frank Reich. Then Chris Tabor. And now Dave Canales. And you have to include the interims to tell the whole story because so many of these guys have gotten fired mid-season or late season. That's what happened to Ron. That's what happened to Matt. His wasn't even late season. And the guys really love Steve Wilks, but once again, they went a different direction. Frank Reich, he got fired before the season was done. Chris Tabor has to take over, and now Dave Canales. Heavens. I know if you are a candidate and you get offered a head coaching job in the NFL, and there's only 32 of them, and you've been waiting for this opportunity, you don't pass it up. I understand that. It's a little bit like David Culley with the Houston Texans, how long he'd waited for an opportunity to coach in the NFL, even though it was the Texans, and it was an unmitigated disaster after Bill O'Brien and everything that was happening in the front office and what was going on with Deshaun Watson, all that jazz. Disaster. He takes it probably knowing that he's going to be a sacrificial lamb, or at the very least is keeping the seat warm until the front office gets its act together or gets its ass together. Well, in the case of Dave Canales, are you a little bit worried? I understand you take the job. Yes, you take the job, but I hope that he's there for a long while and turns the Panthers around. But goodness, the office is littered with the guys who were fired before their first season was even done or before a season was over, littered with mid-season pink slips. I guess, if nothing else, it lights a fire under you and you realize, there's no time to waste. Gotta go now. Of course, if you've signed a nice fat contract and there's guaranteed money in it, well, it might be bittersweet. No, you take the job. You take it because it's your opportunity to get your foot in the door. Number one, it could be the best. You could be the best coach the franchise has ever seen. You get an opportunity to prove that. But beyond that, you get a chance to try it out. You get a chance to put yourself on a sideline in a head coaching gig, get some experience on your resume. It's really no different than the majority of us who take a job. And if it doesn't work out, well, it doesn't work out. But you go for it. Minus the millions and millions of dollars. So there's that difference. All right, coming up, part of my conversation with New York Post NFL insider Ryan Dunleavy, who was in the rain for Lions and Giants, but we're off and running. What about that new kickoff formation? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
Here she is. Here she is, heading up toward the top of the hour, launching you forward into your Friday as I head to the grocery store, because who doesn't want to start the weekend, a rainy weekend, well, a rainy Friday, it's not supposed to be rainy all weekend, but a rainy Friday as Debbie goes jaunting past the New York City Metro, brings a ton more rain. So a lot of people have been in the wake of this storm, thinking about you all. I know there have been some places inundated with water and a lot of flooding. Just a slow-moving storm for a while, which meant the rain was parked. The storm parked over particular areas for long stretches of time. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I'm actually really excited because I have tickets to a Red Sox game coming up on Saturday. And while I do enjoy going to Fenway, I go every couple of years as a fan, this is going to be way more fun. It's going to be my first time ever taking my husband to Boston, A, to Fenway, B, and really to any sporting event. We've never been to a sporting event together, so this will be interesting. They are playing the Astros, and that's his favorite team, just by the luck of the draw. We didn't pre-plan it. We had picked the tickets before I even knew who they were playing. I just was looking for a Saturday in August. And so, yeah, really excited. The weather is supposed to clear up by the afternoon. It's a 4 o'clock Boston time start. We're going to head up early and show them around as many of my favorite parts of Boston as I possibly can, and then also spend a little time in New Hampshire on Sunday. So live free or die, baby. So excited to do that. Kind of an August road trip before mom arrives next week for a couple of days and a visit. 855-212-4227. That's always our number. You're going to need it for football season. At A-Law Radio, and then on our Facebook page as well, asking you about the teams that were not in the playoffs earlier this year. So technically this calendar year, earlier in 2024, but did not make the playoffs after last season. But you believe that they will be back in the playoffs come this year. A lot of people looking at the Falcons. That's a really popular answer. A lot of people looking at the Jets. Another really popular answer. I'm seeing a few of the Bengals. So that's another answer that I've seen in more than one place. And Chargers, which is interesting. Right. So I don't know about the Chargers. I don't know about the Raiders. I like Richard. He's got confidence in the Bears. I'll be so bold to predict that they will win their division. Lions and Packers may have something to say about that. So you can find us on either of our social media sites. I'm really proud of the gifts that I picked. They're unique. They're perfect for a month to go before football season. All right, had a chance to catch up with Ryan Dunleavy, NFL insider for the New York Post. He was there watching Giants and Lions. But the big question mark around preseason is the new kickoff formation. So I asked him his initial impression.
So far, it looks like through this Giants game I was at and the Hall of Fame, watching the Hall of Fame game, the field position doesn't really look like it's going to change much. Teams used to get the ball at the 25 on touchbacks. They're getting it out to about the 30-yard line on kickoffs. If a team has a really dynamic returner, you're just going to kick it through the back of the end zone again anyway, and in that case, the touchback is now the 30, not the 25. So I don't think it's going to change a whole lot. What it does is, the fan can't get up and go to the bathroom or get his popcorn during the kickoff anymore. There's another action-packed collision play in football, which is what the NFL wanted, and it's a safer version. It's meant to be like a typical running play from scrimmage, but it's a play you have to watch. I just don't think it's going to be the wild 60- or 70-yard returns people were expecting, but coordinators, once it gets to regular season, they'll have some tricks up their sleeve, and I think you'll see a bouncing ball a lot that somebody has to recover.
The Giants, they have their cult hero Tommy DeVito, who ends up playing a bunch in this game, but where is the reason to hope that this team is making a step forward from 2023?
A couple reasons. One, the Giants in their heyday, and everybody knows this, whether it's Lawrence Taylor or Michael Strahan, Justin Tacos, the Humaniora, their thing, their franchise identity is the pass rush, and they have a very good one. I mean, Dexter Lawrence is as good a pass rushing nose tackle as there is in the game. I think he has 81 pressures over the last 2 years, which the next closest nose tackle has like 16. So he's as good as there is in the game from that spot. And then the edge duo of Kayvon Thibodeau, who had 11.5 sacks last year in his second NFL season, and the big money acquisition of Brian Burns, that's a pretty good trio of pass rushers. If the Giants can keep games close, that trio should do a lot of damage as long as teams aren't running out the clock with a big lead. That is where it goes to the Giants offense to be much better and score points. I mean, they had one of the most hideous offenses in the league two of the last 3 years. Malik Nabers has been an incredible show during training camp. I mean, I wasn't there for Odell Beckham's early years. People say this is what they're comparing it to. I do a lot of Jets here in New York, too. Garrett Wilson's a phenomenal receiver who has only not even scratched the surface because of quarterback play. Malik Nabers is already doing things Garrett Wilson's doing 3 years into the league. The Giants are going to force feed the ball to Malik Nabers. His ability to create separation is incredible. He's getting 4 or 5 yards separation. That's what like the Justin Jeffersons and Jamar Chase do. He'll be an immediate impact player.
We're excited to have Ryan Dunleavy in the wake of the first two Thursday night preseason games of week one post Hall of Fame game. Covers the NFL for the New York Post, and it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So on the other side of the field, the Detroit Lions, a lot of excitement and hype about this team after last year. What maybe was keeping them from being elite?
They changed their secondary, right? They went out and got Carlton Davis and their first round pick, Terrion Arnold. That, I think, is an area that they've improved. Their offensive line is probably one of the best in the NFL. If possible, they didn't lose much when they went from Jonah Jackson to Kevin Zeitler. They have the same other 4 starters. I think it's just a team, honestly, Amy, that needed a year of experience. They were in the Super Bowl if Dan Campbell didn't make 2 head-scratching decisions to go for 4th downs, right? I think from the top down, from Campbell down to the players who had never really experienced those kind of big games before, I think they just needed a year of, okay, this is what it's like. I don't think they really had to do much to improve the roster. I think they just had to get a feel for it, get back there. And I just saw them do 2 joint practices. The starters didn't really play too much for the Lions tonight in the preseason, but they're as tough, as physical, and as swaggery, if that's a word, a football team as I've seen in a long time. I mean, forget that they're the Lions or that helmet. That if I told you that team was the Seahawks of 10 years ago, you'd be like, yep, that's who they look like.
A lot of chippiness and extracurricular activity in those joint practices, huh?
Oh, yeah. Both teams got fined $200,000 apiece because there were so many fights in those practices. And you know what? I think both owners would probably sign up for that. It was the kind, no one got injured in any of the fights. It was just 2 teams standing up for themselves. The Lions, who want to bully a lot of people, that's their style, biting kneecaps, Dan Campbell, and a team who's tired of being bullied, who's been one of the worst teams in the NFL for the past decade, and they're going to preach physicality and toughness all this year. That is their identity. And so it was important to them not to get bullied around, even though they were at a severe talent disadvantage in those 2 practices.
So thinking about the 2 teams in New York, Jets and Giants, and the Jets are bringing back Aaron Rodgers slowly, trying to be really careful with him. Which team has a higher ceiling in 24, Ryan?
Oh, it's definitely the Jets. The Jets are loaded. Their roster is so incredibly good. I think I did the other day, they have like 8 guys on the team who either were first or second team all pros within the last 2 years or have a legitimate case like Breece Hall to be a first or second team all pro this year. And how many teams have that kind of top end talent? Like the Chiefs don't have that kind of top end talent. They have Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Chris Jones, but they don't have 8 guys like that. Maybe the Ravens come to mind as a team that might have that much. The 49ers as that much talent, but you're talking about the cream of the crop. And honestly, I think that's what the Jets are. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers has to stay healthy, but if he stays healthy, I don't have any doubts that he can play at a near MVP caliber level like he did before his injury. And then the defense is loaded. The offense has playmakers. The offensive line should be good again if they stay healthy. But it's a very complete team. The real question is Robert Saleh has never really coached in big games. Kind of like I just said for Dan Campbell, it was a learning experience in big games to figure out those when you go for it, when you kick, how you do timeouts. My eyes will be on Saleh if the Jets get off to like a 5-2, 6-1 start. How's he managing big games?
Ryan, before I let you go, let's end with the 2-time defending Super Bowl champions. The Chiefs, well, we know what they bring back. We know what they're capable of, but it's a brand new season. Who or what provide the biggest obstacles and stand in the way of the Chiefs getting a third consecutive Super Bowl win?
It's a good question. I'm actually working on a story about that kind of right now. And who? I guess it's probably the Ravens, the Jets, the Bills in the AFC, and the Bengals in the AFC, probably the 49ers and the Eagles in the NFC. What? It's like, you know, obviously any kind of injury, it's wear and tear. It's their offensive tackle situation. It's drama because, forget Taylor Swift. If you thought that was drama, that was a cute little story. They had so much. I mean, so whether it's Rashee Rice and his offseason arrest, whether it's Harrison Butker and his controversial comments, whether it's they had one of their offensive linemen, last name is Morris, to get arrested. They've had so much drama around them. You think Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes will be able to insulate themselves for that, but. And then there's the wear and tear, right? They play a lot more games than everybody every season. So eventually that catches up to you. So there's all those kind of factors. But push comes to shove, you're like, Ryan, pick a team to win the Super Bowl. I'm going to pick the Kansas City Chiefs.
Good stuff with Ryan Dunleavy of the New York Post. And it feels good to talk about football, actual real storylines. And with the Olympics about to exit stage left, football will be back in the center ring of the circus. So excited to do more of that as we head into next week. Goodness, every single team plays this weekend, preseason week one. Remember, there are only three full weekends. And in a variety of plans and blueprints, you will see some starters for a full quarter, some starters for a couple of series, in some cases, no starters whatsoever. So, yes, it's going to be varied across the league, but still, for about the first 3.5 minutes, or maybe a full quarter, from 3.5 minutes to 15 minutes, it might be very closely resembling actual football. Boom. Can't wait. All right, coming up, a little bit of leftovers just from the weekend, or from the week, excuse me, and heading into the weekend. Some good baseball races to watch, even as I mentioned, heading to Red Sox and Astros this weekend at Fenway. Yeah, it's a busy August, I'll say that. It's more than just baseball, football, and the Olympics. All kind of making it a lot busier, a lot more interesting, maybe, than what some of you anticipated for your August in sports. And we're on the cusp of big stuff.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Never lie, never cheat, never steal. I was raised with that lesson. I have raised my family on that lesson. I have preached that lesson to the teams that I've coached. No one's perfect. If you stumble, you apologize, and you make it right. Today, I do not apologize. I did not participate, was not aware, nor complicit in those said allegations. So for me, it's back to work and attacking with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
I love Jim Harbaugh. I've missed him in the NFL, and I can imagine Michigan is missing him even as the college football season is about to commence. That's priceless. I will get back to the task at hand with an enthusiasm unknown to man. Anyway, some of you are saying because of Jim Harbaugh, the Chargers are a team that will make the playoffs in 2024, where they did not last season, or really, it's been a couple years. I can understand why you would believe Jim Harbaugh can turn that ship around, and they definitely do have good players. It's just been a lack of leadership that has brought them all together. Will we see a Justin Herbert who takes his game to the next level? Will we see those guys play to their potential and not come up with creative ways to lose? So the question at A-Law Radio on our Facebook page, which teams that did not make the playoffs last year will boot some of the others out and find their way in? I've seen both Chargers and Raiders. will be re-entering the NFL postseason bracket. Falcons are another popular answer. Jets, also coming out of the AFC because of Aaron Rodgers, of course. Bengals, an answer I've seen in a few places. Eagles, another popular answer. And while we're talking Eagles, the goal, of course, is to get back to the Super Bowl. They were there a couple years ago and lost, but the distant, okay, not too distant memories of them winning the Super Bowl, well, those can still be a powerful motivator. And how about right before the preseason kicks off, that Super Bowl MVP, Nick Foles, walking away from football?
It's crazy to be in this moment, looking at this camera, officially announcing my retirement from the NFL. Thank you to the Philadelphia Eagles fans. Thank you for all your support from 2012 when I was drafted to 2017 when I came back. You truly made playing in Philadelphia the most special experience in my football career. This isn't the end. I know I'll see you soon. Thank y'all.
That run that he went on, their Super Bowl year, even the year after with Doug Peterson, the way that they were able, and as a top seed, right, lose their starting quarterback who is an MVP candidate, insert Nick Foles, completely different quarterback, and then take out the Patriots in the Super Bowl. That was one hell of a ride. That's where every team is trying to go. A Nick Foles-like run, if you will. So I will miss him. He was, I know he didn't do much after that. And there are a lot of people that believe the Eagles should have stuck with them, or should have stuck with him, excuse me. Maybe, just maybe, things could have gone differently. But I don't even know that they need to. He loved football. He went to Jacksonville, got hurt right away, then went to Chicago, had a couple of opportunities, but at that point, never could recapture that magic, that lightning in a bottle, if you will. But man, one of the greatest runs to a Super Bowl and even beyond. So, yeah, it was awesome to watch. Listen to me all nostalgic. The Carson Wentz, Nick Foles debate, that one raged for quite a while. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, so congratulations to Nick Foles. I know they're going to honor him at an Eagles game this year. While we're talking about the NFC East, if the Eagles are back in the playoffs, does that maybe, just maybe, kick the Cowboys out? I don't know if people would go that far, but without CeeDee Lamb, the offense is not going to be as good. If you haven't heard or seen, heard about or seen, the, I don't want to call it an exchange because Jerry Jones wasn't talking directly to CeeDee Lamb, but the word got back to CeeDee. Of course, every time Jerry's in front of a microphone now, there's questions about paying his wide receiver who is currently holding out, is not with the team in Oxnard, California, is waiting on a new contract. And yeah, the owner and general manager of the team, of course, they're asking for updates.
Are you saying there's a sense of urgency as you begin the preseason to get CD done?
No.
No? Why you say that?
I'm just, I went to high school or I went to college. I don't know why I said it, but I'm just saying I don't know. I don't have a sense of urgency about getting it done.
It's a long-standing tradition.
Pick any reason you want. I said no boo 2 days ago. Give that as a reason.
All right, there's people there laughing along with Jerry Jones, but you can hear him not laughing as loud as that reporter. I swear he said I went to Costco. I went to college. I could be wrong. It just sounded like Costco. So he repeats it. No, I don't have a sense of urgency. Even if you are Jerry Jones and you're the one that writes the checks and you aren't concerned and you believe that CeeDee Lamb will return before the season is done, maybe there's something going on behind the scenes. I mean, he is scheduled to make $18 million, so I have a hard time believing he's going to leave that on the table, though he's incurring fines for not being at training camp. But to say in front of the cameras, no, I don't have a sense of urgency about CeeDee's contract, and then as it was going to happen very quickly. Word spreads. That quote gets put up on social. And CD responds with LOL. Oh, dear. I'm sure that makes the negotiations even easier. I wouldn't call that a social media feud. I would say that Kevin Durant is currently engaged in a social media feud. And I don't know who the dude is that he's going back and forth with. But he just, 20 minutes ago, because remember, it's getting close to noon in Petty. And Durant and Team USA, they're flying high. So KD, he doesn't like to let a good social media fight pass him by. He is, yeah, he's yelling, using profanity the way that you can. Maybe he's not yelling. He's pretty chill, actually. He just likes to punctuate with profanity, calling people lames. You're just going to have to read it. I can't repeat it. He's just going back and forth with fans. And as I say, Team USA is feeling good, feeling themselves, and should, after that victory, comeback victory against Serbia. But I had to laugh just because it's for Kevin Durant, it's noon and this is what he does with his lunch. But for the rest of us, well, hello, wake it up. Well, how you doing, Kevin Durant? Dropping F-bombs on different trolls on social. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I mean, that happens to me pretty often. I can imagine it happens to him pretty often as well. Heading into the weekend, if you've not checked the baseball standings recently, the Padres are within 2.5 games of the Dodgers atop the NL West. The Diamondbacks are creeping as well. But the Padres, they won again last night. And so Dodgers, beware. Maybe, just maybe, there could be a change atop that division by the end of the weekend. We'll see whether or not my husband wearing an Astros hat to Fenway Park Spurs on his favorite team, Houston. Right now, Houston is 1/1,000th of a point ahead of the Mariners in the AL West. Plus a ton of preseason. We're going to see Josh Allen. We're going to see Patrick Mahomes. We're going to see Bills and Chiefs. We'll be back Sunday night to talk about it. Can't wait. Have a great weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom! But big stuff.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Never lie, never cheat, never steal. I was raised with that lesson. I have raised my family on that lesson. I have preached that lesson to the teams that I've coached. No one's perfect. If you stumble, you apologize and you make it right. Today, I do not apologize. I did not participate, was not aware, nor complicit in those said allegations. So for me, it's back to work and attacking with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
I love Jim Harbaugh. I've missed him in the NFL, and I can imagine Michigan is missing him even as the college football season is about to commence. That's priceless. I will commence, or I will get back to the task at hand with an enthusiasm unknown to man. Anyway, some of you are saying because of Jim Harbaugh, the Chargers are a team that will make the playoffs in 2024, where they did not last season, or really, it's been a couple years. I can understand why you would believe Jim Harbaugh can turn that ship around, and they definitely do have good players. It's just been a lack of leadership that has brought them all together. Will we see a Justin Herbert who takes his game to the next level? Will we see those guys play to their potential and not come up with creative ways to lose? So the question at A-Law Radio on our Facebook page, which teams that did not make the playoffs last year will boot some of the others out and find their way in? I've seen both Chargers and Raiders will be re-entering the NFL postseason bracket. Falcons are another popular answer. Jets, also coming out of the AFC because of Aaron Rodgers, of course. Bengals, an answer I've seen in a few places. Eagles, another popular answer. And while we're talking Eagles, the goal, of course, is to get back to the Super Bowl. They were there a couple years ago and lost, but the distant, okay, not too distant memories of them winning the Super Bowl, well, those can still be a powerful motivator. And how about right before the preseason kicks off, that Super Bowl MVP, Nick Foles, walking away from football?
It's crazy to be in this moment, looking at this camera, officially announcing my retirement from the NFL. Thank you to the Philadelphia Eagles fans. Thank you for all your support from 2012 when I was drafted to 2017 when I came back. You truly made playing in Philadelphia the most special experience in my football career. This isn't the end. I know I'll see you soon. Thank y'all.
That run that he went on, their Super Bowl year, even the year after with Doug Peterson, the way that they were able, and as a top seed, right, lose their starting quarterback who is an MVP candidate, insert Nick Foles, completely different quarterback, and then take out the Patriots in the Super Bowl. That was one hell of a ride. That's where every team is trying to go. A Nick Foles-like run, if you will. So I will miss him. I know he didn't do much after that. And there are a lot of people that believe the Eagles should have stuck with them, or should have stuck with him, excuse me. Maybe, just maybe, things could have gone differently. But I don't even know that they need to. He loved football. He went to Jacksonville, got hurt right away, then went to Chicago, had a couple of opportunities, but at that point, never could recapture that magic, that lightning in a bottle, if you will. But man, one of the greatest runs to a Super Bowl and even beyond. So, yeah, it was awesome to watch. Listen to me all nostalgic. The Carson Wentz, Nick Foles debate, that one raged for quite a while. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So congratulations to Nick Foles. I know they're going to honor him at an Eagles game this year. While we're talking about the NFC East, if the Eagles are back in the playoffs, does that maybe, just maybe, kick the Cowboys out? I don't know if people would go that far. But without CeeDee Lamb, the offense is not going to be as good. If you haven't heard about or seen, I don't want to call it an exchange, because Jerry Jones wasn't talking directly to CeeDee Lamb, but the word got back to CeeDee. Of course, every time Jerry's in front of a microphone now, there's questions about paying his wide receiver, who is currently holding out, is not with the team in Oxnard, California, is waiting on a new contract. And yeah, the owner and general manager of the team, of course, they're asking for updates.
Are you saying there's a sense of urgency as you begin the preseason to get CD done?
No.
No? Why do you say that?
I'm I went to high school, or I went to college. I don't know why I said it, but I'm just saying I don't know. I don't have a sense of urgency about getting it done.
It's a long-standing tradition.
Pick any reason you want. I said no boo 2 days ago. Give that as a reason.
All right, there's people that are laughing along with Jerry Jones, but you can hear him not laughing as loud as that reporter. I swear he said I went to Costco. I went to college. I could be wrong. It just sounded like Costco. So he repeats it. No, I don't have a sense of urgency. Even if you are Jerry Jones and you're the one that writes the checks and you aren't concerned and you believe that CeeDee Lamb will return before the season is done, maybe there's something going on behind the scenes. I mean, he is scheduled to make $18 million, so I have a hard time believing he's going to leave that on the table, though he's incurring fines for not being at training camp. But to say in front of the cameras, no, I don't have a sense of urgency about CeeDee's contract, and then, as it was going to happen very quickly, word spreads. That quote gets put up on social, and CeeDee responds with LOL. Oh, dear. I'm sure that makes the negotiations even easier. I wouldn't call that a social media feud. I would say that Kevin Durant is currently engaged in a social media feud. And I don't know who the dude is that he's going back and forth with, but he just 20 minutes ago, because remember, it's getting close to noon in Pet E, and Durant and Team USA, they're flying high. So KD, he doesn't like to let a good social media fight pass him by. He is, yeah, he's yelling, using profanity the way that you can. Maybe he's not yelling. He's pretty chill, actually. He just likes to punctuate with profanity, calling people lames. You're just going to have to read it. I can't repeat it. He's just going back and forth with fans. And as I say, Team USA is feeling good, feeling themselves, and should, after that victory, comeback victory against Serbia. But I had to laugh just because it's for Kevin Durant, it's noon and this is what he does with his lunch. But for the rest of us, well, hello, wake it up. Well, how you doing, Kevin Durant? Dropping F-bombs on different trolls on social. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I mean, that happens to me pretty often. I can imagine it happens to him pretty often as well. Heading into the weekend, if you've not checked the baseball standings recently, the Padres are within 2.5 games of the Dodgers atop the NL West. The Diamondbacks are creeping as well. But the Padres, they won again last night. And so Dodgers, beware. Maybe, just maybe, there could be a change atop that division by the end of the weekend. We'll see whether or not my husband wearing an Astros hat to Fenway Park Spurs on his favorite team, Houston. Right now, Houston is 1/1,000th of a point ahead of the Mariners in the AL West. Plus a ton of preseason. We're going to see Josh Allen. We're going to see Patrick Mahomes. We're going to see Bills and Chiefs. We'll be back Sunday night to talk about it. Can't wait. Have a great weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Bye.